to a sermon. Amen? Well, welcome, everybody. We're glad you're here, and to our guests especially. We're glad you're with us today. We're glad you chose to worship with us today. We're so glad you're here that we don't want anybody here to feel like they haven't been greeted. So I know you just sat down, but would you stand back up and make sure everybody here feels welcome, and we'll jump into the sermon here in just a second.
We can't hear the kids talking.
Okay. I'll use a mic. Morning. All right. We would love to stay and greet all day, but we got some stuff to cover. So we're really excited about today because we're starting kind of a week late because of a blizzard. We're starting an Advent series called Christmas at the Movies. And what our intent in this sermon series is to take some of the most popular Christmas movies and connect them to the real Christmas story. And instead of thinking like, okay, how do we do that? What's really interesting, if you pay attention to any of the most popular Christmas movies, they all have a theme. And that all, if you look at every movie in that theme, they're searching for the true meaning of Christmas. And so this is easy. All we have to do is make the bridge to what God tells us in the Bible. So we are starting with the movie. We think this is the best one to start with right away, is The Grinch. Because this one's been around a long time, and we think everybody in this room, there should be four generations in this room that have all probably had the opportunity to see this movie. So let's do a poll. Who has seen The Grinch movie here? See, this is exactly what we're talking about. Now you're going to, some of you are thinking this, you didn't yell it out, but like, which one, Brian, which Grinch movie did we watch? So let's look at that. So the first Grinch movie came out in 1966, which was, I was 9 months old. And it came out, and the person who did the voice of the Grinch was Boris Karloff. I'm like, well, who's he? Well, some of us know. He was the first Frankenstein. He was the guy in the black and white, the first Frankenstein movie. He did the voice of the Grinch and the narration. So that was 1966. Some of you have seen that one, the animated cartoon. Some of you know best. This one's 18 years old, the 2000 movie with Jim Carrey. It was an actual live, real people, real cast. So how many here, let's go back. How many know the first one they saw was the 1966 one? Okay. Now, how many like their favorite and the one they first saw was the 2000 one with Jim Carrey? Okay. Now 4 weeks ago came out another one. This one, the first one was called The Grinch That Stole Christmas. The second one was How the Grinch Stole Christmas. This one's just called The Grinch. And the voice of this one is Benedict Cumberbatch. For those of you who watch The Avengers, it's Doctor Strange's voice is the one. So how many here have gone out in the last 4 weeks and watched The New Grinch? See, some of you. You guys are missing out. Kara and I reconned all three movies. We watched all three movies as we're writing a sermon. So what's interesting is the origin. So originally, Dr. Seuss wrote the story as a poem. It appeared in Red Book magazine in 1955. 2 years later, he wrote this book, still available at Target and Walmart. So 1957, he wrote this, and then the movie came. The movies came. So for those of you who maybe haven't, the minority here who have not seen the movie, here's the premise of the story. The Grinch, to describe him, is he's about the color of my shirt. He's avocado green. He's hairy. From head to toe, he's pot-bellied. His face looks like a cat. And he's just got this mean disposition about him in the whole movie. Now, the Grinch in the movie, in the book, lives at Mount Crumpet, at the top of Mount Crumpet, way up high above. His only friend is his dog, Max. And if you watch the new movie, he's got a second friend, Fred the reindeer. But Max is like his only friend. And as he sits there atop the top of Mount Crumpet, he looks down and he sees a little village, a Whoville. And who's in Whoville? Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Who's in Whoville? It's an old joke. Yeah, so the Who's. The Who's. He looks down the Who's and he doesn't like the Who's. He doesn't like the Who's at all. He doesn't, and there's a backstory to this, but he doesn't like the Who's, and he really doesn't like them at Christmas time. Because, see, the Whovilles knock it out. The whole Whoville place, all the Who's, they decorate the place to the hilt. They sing out in the streets all day long, and he sits there and listens to it from the top of the mountain, and he hates Christmas. It's the worst time of the year. And so in the plot of the movie and the book, he's so angry and so grinchy that he plans to steal Christmas. And his goal is, using Max to pull his sleigh, he dresses up as Santa, and he goes down in the middle of the night on Christmas Eve and he steals Christmas. He steals it all. He takes every ornament, every gift, every tree, every light on the house, loads it up in a sleigh, and tries to steal Christmas. Now we're going to stop there at the story, and I want to talk to the kids about this story. So children, I want you to come up with me. I want to talk about the Grinch. So all the children here, come up. We want you to join me right here in the middle. Come on up, plenty of room. Go ahead and just find a place. We're going to be here for about 3 hours. So come on up, have a seat. Okay, maybe not 3 hours. But look at me, turn and look at me. We're going to need a bigger stage. Come on up. Come on down. No, there's never too much kids, right? Yeah, there's a lot, though. Yeah. All right, I'm going to get this a little bit out of your way so we can see, all right? So heads up, coming through. So let's talk about the Grinch. We even got older kids up here. Isn't that cool? Okay. So out of this group, let's poll. Let's do a poll here. Who has in this group seen the movie The Grinch? Any of the movies? All right. So I'm going to ask a question. What's your favorite part about the movie? What stands out like the coolest part? I know parents, you're scared. Hang tight. This is going to be interesting.
When the Grinch uses sewing machine, the Grinch uses a needle and sews his finger.
Okay, that's a really, we didn't hear that one in the first service. Another one. Ava.
You can see the termites in his teeth.
Yeah, you can see the termites in his teeth. What else?
I like when he steals the Christmas.
Yeah. It's like, do you see how ginormous the stack on his sleigh was? And Max is trying to. Yeah, he sucked it all up with the vacuum cleaner. What else?
When he builds the sleigh.
Yeah, when he built the sleigh. All right, way over here.
When that guy sings the "You're the Mean One, Mr. Grinch."
Yeah, that was in the second movie where the song. Yeah, that's where it first came out. When you're a mean one. Okay, one more. One more favorite part.
Where like the Grinch stuck his head in his monkey thing to sing with his like
the symbols and the yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are really neat memories of that story. So let's talk about the Grinch. This is where we want to start and talk about in the sermon. Is that, have you, and this is kind of an old word, but have your parents ever called you Grinchy? No. Have you heard Mom and Dad call you Grinchy? So it's kind of a word. Grinchy means you're kind of like being like the Grinch. You're being crabby, or you're being mean to your brother or sister, or you're being unhappy. And so the Grinch was really Grinchy, right? And so what's interesting is like what made him Grinchy? Do you guys know what made him Grinchy? Go ahead. What do you think? What made him Grinchy?
In one of the movies, he was making a Christmas present for the girl that he liked and this other guy so that he shave himself, and so he did that, and there was a whole bunch of little, like, things all over his face, and he embarrassed himself, and that made him hate Christmas.
Yeah, that is an extremely detailed, yeah, yeah, that is exactly right. That's what else made him grinchy? Do you guys remember what made him grinchy?
Yeah, because the Christmas, he didn't like Christmas.
He didn't like all the singing and all the noise and all the joy. He didn't like that. What else?
Because the guy said, you're 8 years old and you have a beard.
Yeah, that's true. This is great. Yeah, you guys know the movie. This is awesome. Well, in the first movie and in the book, it tells about why he's grinchy. Watch this video clip.
Every Who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot. But the Grinch, who lived just north of Whoville, did not. The Grinch hated Christmas, the whole Christmas season. Now, please don't ask why. No one quite knows the reason. It could be, perhaps, that his shoes were too tight. It could be his head wasn't screwed on just right. But I think that the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small. But whatever the reason, his heart or his shoes, he stood there on Christmas Eve, hating the Who's, staring down from his cave with a sour, grinchy frown at the warm, lighted windows below in their town. For he knew every Who down in Whoville beneath was busy now, hanging a holly Who wreath. And they're hanging their stockings, he snarled with a sneer. Tomorrow is Christmas. It's practically here. Then he growled with his Grinch fingers nervously drumming. I must find some way to keep Christmas from coming. Tomorrow, I know. All those Who girls and boys will wake bright and early. They'll rush for their toys and then, oh, the noise, oh, the noise, 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 noise. There's one thing I hate. Oh, the noise, 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 noise.
Okay, so did you catch why he's grinchy? What did it say? Yeah, his heart was two times too small. See, have you ever been grinchy? Have you ever, like, around Christmas time? Let's talk about Christmas time. Have you ever been grinchy around Christmas time? It's like, you know, like the first group this morning thought, no, we've never been grinchy around Christmas time. I said, you ever get angry with your brother or sister? Okay, yeah, I did. It's like, okay, did you get grinchy? Yeah, we did. Did you ever get grinchy about maybe the present you got wasn't what you wanted? It wasn't the pony or the new car or... Do you ever maybe get grinchy just about anything during Christmas? You know what's interesting when we feel grinchy? Is our heart does. It feels small. God didn't make our heart to be like that. And so when our heart hurts, or we're crabby, or we're mean, it feels like it shrinks. Now, a little anatomy and physiology lesson. Ready? How big is your heart right now, today? How big is your heart? Good, it is. It's as big as your fist. So for an adult, it's the size of their fist. For a kid, it's the size of their fist. For a baby, it's the size of their fist. So I want you to take your fist, just like you're saying a Pledge of Allegiance. I want you to put it right here. It's right about there, just off the left side of here, your breastbone, the sternum, right? And that's how big your heart is. So how big do you think it is when you're grinchy? I got it. Two times as small, and sometimes it can be maybe even as small as a tic-tac. That's small. So what we're talking about today, what's important is actually God promises a heart. If you remember in the movie, his heart gets bigger. And so how do we get a heart that's bigger than the one that we have? How do we make sure we don't get a small heart, especially during Christmas, and how do we make sure it's a bigger heart? And you know what? I'm going to leave you hanging right there. Because you're going to go to a class, those of you who are leaving and going to children's worship, you're going to talk about how we get a bigger heart. And those of you who stay here with your parents, listen really close to how we get a bigger heart and how God does that. And then when you go to lunch today, You talk with your mom and dad or your grandma and grandpa and you compare notes with them, okay? Would you do that? Okay. Thank you guys for being up here. Would you give them a big hand for joining us?
Who is this mean fellow with his skin all green and his teeth all yellow?
Next, you will guide my sleigh tonight.
Isn't it always scary when we have kids a microphone? You just might never know. They did a great job, didn't they? That was so. Let's talk about that. How about the rest of us? How do we feel this Christmas season? Do we have times of grinchiness? You know, and I think can we suffer from a heart that's two sizes too small? Maybe not all the time, but even some of the time. Sometimes Christmas season's kind of up and down. But I think we all can kind of go through that grinchiness. And it was interesting, as we looked at all three movies and watched all three movies, I compiled a list. Here's the reasons why the Grinch, why his heart was too small. So let's take a look at this list together. The first thing and the reason why we watched all three movies was that he was hurt. Now, in the original book, it doesn't say. It just tells us his heart was two sizes too small. But in a Jim Carrey movie, it was exactly what the child said. It was like it was a friendship that went wrong. It was bullying, and then he fell in love with somebody, and then that went wrong, and he became angry with the people of Whoville. In the new movie, The Grinch, it shows that the Grinch was in an orphanage in Whoville, growing up without a family, and every Christmas, he would watch everybody celebrating Christmas, and he didn't have Christmas. And so he was hurt. And this is the first reason. Another reason why he had heart problems was that he wanted what others have. Did I get that right? Yeah. He saw all the joy, all the happiness, all the presents, everything, and he wanted that too. The third reason was that he didn't like the noise and the chaos. You saw that in the clip. He didn't like all the noise around him. He didn't like the chaos and the just the cheers and the joy and the singing. It drove him nuts. And then another reason was he couldn't forgive. He couldn't forgive those past hurts, and so it carried with him. It carried with him to the next Christmas season, the next Christmas season. Enough that he couldn't forgive that he tried to steal Christmas. And when you add all those up, it moved to another issue in his heart, and all those things made him move further away from community. So let's look at that with ourselves. A lot of us will go into this Christmas season with hurt. It might be a loss of a loved one. It might be a diagnosis that you got. It might be something, but there's hurt. It might be somebody else that stepped on your toes. And maybe what we really are focusing on this Christmas is I'm working three jobs to buy the things that we need for my kids and for my wife and for everybody, you know, my husband. And we're working all these jobs. It's just chaos. And I'm getting grinchy because I'm working so hard to buy something for somebody so we can have what others have. And maybe some of us, and I know who you are because you started complaining when people were playing Christmas music before Thanksgiving. You don't like the noise and the chaos. You don't like it because there's all the holiday parties, all the activities, and it's just, it's chaos all the time. And just you rage towards Christmas. And it's over, and it's like, and then for some of us, it's like this anticlimactic event. It's all this stuff, all these presents, and then, blah, it's over. And then some of us are struggling with forgiveness. And you won't believe how much weight this carries. When you go to a family event, when you go to work during the Christmas season, you got somebody you work with, you can't forgive, or you go home and you know that cousin or that mom, dad, whatever, that I can't forgive, it makes it really hard. And you add all those together, and what happens? We shrink back. We shrink back from our community of our family. And ladies and gentlemen, we even shrink back from the church and the community of faith and structure that we have to support ourselves. And so while this, you know, the Grinch movie is a little bit dark till you get to the end, but there's this really cool promise. What if I told you today that God has promised us all a changed heart? Not a stubborn, stiff heart like the Grinch had, or even a heart that goes up and down through the seasons, But what if God promised us a changed heart? And so I want to reference here, especially for our guests, we got these, when you came in, you got this worship guide. On the back are these sermon notes. And here's our first sermon note together. God promised us a changed heart. Now, these words are not small. God promised. Our God has not failed a promise yet. He promised us all a changed heart. The reference there is Ezekiel 36, 26 through 28. We're going to put that scripture up here, and let's look at the scripture together. Here's the promise. And God is speaking this to Ezekiel, who's a prophet, somebody that would tell the community, this is what God's trying to tell us. Listen up. And so this is what God gave Ezekiel to tell them. And God said, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you, and I will take out your stony, stubborn heart, and I'll give you a tender, responsive heart, and I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey all my regulations, and you will live in Israel, the land I gave your ancestors long ago. You will be my people, and I will be your God. So this promise was written in the book of Ezekiel. This promise was written down in somewhere around 597 to 579 B.C., almost 600 years before the first Christmas when Jesus arrived on earth. And Ezekiel's talking to the Israelite people, God's chosen people, who he's going to show who he is to the world. He's saying, you guys have got grinchy hearts. You guys have got stubborn hearts, but he says, we have this hope that God has promised that he's going to give us a changed heart. And when we look at this scripture in Ezekiel 36, this is actually one of the prophecies of the first Christmas. This is what we call the new covenant, God's new agreement with his people that he will fix everything and give us hope. And this promise arrived 600 years almost later. And God began to fulfill that promise on the first Christmas. We'll get back to that. Now let's get back to the story. So there's the promise of a changed heart. We'll come back to that. Let's go back to the story of the Grinch. Now this is a spoiler alert. And I'm not too worried about that because almost everybody raised their hand. But if you don't want to know how the end of the Grinch, how the movie ends up, cover your ears for the next 20 minutes. Close your eyes too, and we put a video up there. But in the Grinch movie, towards the end, his heart changes. And the Grinch's heart was changed by a who? Specifically, her name is Cindy Lou Who. And what happened is when he was stealing Christmas out of her house, he was dressed up as Santa. She thought he was Santa. And in one of the stories, she asked him, when you're delivering presents tonight, would you give one to the Grinch, not knowing he was the Grinch, because she saw the good in him. And the Grinch experienced what we call an unconditional love, and it started a catalyst of change. Her love, Cindy Lou's love for him, that unconditional love broke through that stubborn, old, crusty heart. And it not only started to change him, but it completely changed what the meaning of Christmas was to him. And so watch this video and watch the change.
He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came.
Somehow or other, it came just the same.
Mr. Grinch!
And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling.
How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags.
And he puzzled and puzzled till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before.
Maybe Christmas,
he thought.
doesn't come from a star. Maybe Christmas. Perhaps. Means a little bit more.
So after the Grinch had stole Christmas and sat up on the hill, and all of a sudden he heard the noise down from Whoville, he had completely taken Christmas, he thought, from them. And what arose from Whoville was singing and joy that still happened, even though they didn't have Christmas presents or anything else. And then you see the change. He realizes that Christmas is about something more. And so let's look at the second sermon note together. While the Grinch's heart was changed by a who, our heart can be changed by a who. And that who is Jesus. And the scripture verse here is Mark 1:15. And in Mark 1:15, this is written 700 years after Ezekiel. And he's talking about the promise that Ezekiel talked about. So let's read that together. And this is John the Baptist who's declaring that Jesus is here. And John's really excited about Jesus being here. And this is what he says. He says, "A time promised by God has come at last," he announced. "The kingdom of God is near. So repent of your sins and believe the good news." Mark writes that John the Baptist shouts out, the promise that God gave in Ezekiel is now here. It came on Christmas Day. And now Jesus was beginning his ministry. And he's announcing that the promise of a changed heart has now come. God reaches out in his love, just like Cindy Lou did, an unconditional love to the world. For God so loved the world, he sent his son on a mission. And his son came on that first Christmas day. And his son not only showed us God, but his son paid the price for the sin of our stubborn old hearts that shrinks our hearts two sizes. And what's really cool about Mark 1:15 is it shows us how we get that changed heart. You got the promise in Ezekiel, and now Mark says, this is how you get it. This is how you get a changed heart. He says, repent. Repent's an old word, old school word, that means turn away from our old stubborn heart. And we ask forgiveness for that old stubborn heart. And the second thing he says, you turn from that, and he says, and you believe. Believe the good news. Believe that Jesus came to save us. And when you turn from that old stubborn heart and you aim towards Jesus and you follow him and you believe in what he did, God gives you a new heart. You notice it doesn't say that we changed our heart. That's impossible. We all try this, right? And we don't get very far. It lasts for a while and it goes away. God surgically removes, spiritually surgically removes, and gives us a new heart. It starts with turning, asking forgiveness, and believing who Jesus is and what he did. And God promises a new heart right there. So I want us to pretend right now that this is Whoville, right? We are Whoville. So everybody in Whoville had the last name of who? So I want you to turn to the person next to you and say their first name and their last name, who? All right. So welcome to Whoville. Now, this is important. The reason why I'm calling us Whoville is because as a church and as Christians, we are a village of people with changed hearts. At one point in our life, we turned, we believed, we asked forgiveness, and we believed. And God changed the heart of each of us, which creates a village of who's. And God changed our hearts at that moment. But here's the deal. Outside of Whoville, there's about 4 billion people who've never had a changed heart. Outside of Whoville, there's 4 billion people on our planet that have never known this new heart. And so let's look at sermon note number 3 together. And this is so important because God's promise continues. The hearts today are changed through another who? Jesus and you. God's promise is still working today, but it works through us. He works through us, and the power of a changed heart in Christ in us is how he works today for all those people that don't know him and don't know his son and don't have a changed heart. God is still fulfilling that promise. God is still changing hearts, but he does it through his church. And our church is not a building, it's people. And it's where we are every day in the world and showing that changed heart. So there's one more important thing to cover about our heart. God not only promises to remove the old heart and give us a new heart, God promised to fill that heart. It's not just exchange, it's fill. All right? So let's. When you look at the Grinch, when he discovered love, his heart changed. He apologized. You watch the movie. He apologized. He took Christmas back, right? Him and Max went down the hill with all the presents, and he apologized. He asked forgiveness, and he returned Christmas there. His heart changed. He turned away from his old stubborn heart. He asked forgiveness. And then something happened to his new heart. Watch this.
What happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day.
What's happening to me?
So let's go back to what the narrator said. And this is from the book. He said, and what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say, that the Grinch's heart, small heart, grew 3 sizes that day. But the book adds more. And then the true meaning of Christmas came through, and the Grinch found the strength of 10 Grinches plus 2. So let's look at sermon note number 4 together, last one together. Our hearts can be 3 sizes larger when filled by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah, so we go all the way back to Ezekiel. Ezekiel said, God will give us a new heart. Ezekiel said, and he will pour his Spirit into our heart. And then we want to look together. And what's interesting is when we have this new heart, and it's a heart that can be expanded in who we are and how we live, it gives us a hope like we've never had before. And so the scripture verse we're referencing here in this sermon note is Romans 5:5. And this is a scripture continuing to tell the story over hundreds of years, the same story of God's promise. And Romans 5:5, it reads this. It says, "And this hope we have with this new heart will not lead us to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love." Amen. So let's get this part, because this part's really important. Is when we let God change our heart, and he gives us a new heart, and then he fills that heart with his Holy Spirit and love. What that means for us is we have a greater love then for God. And we can have a greater love for others. And we can have a greater victory over sin. And we can have a greater power for helping others change their hearts. All because we can't begin to do that on our own power. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, we now have God's power in us. That's what his Spirit is, to do these things. And I think the movie sells it short because it says three times larger. But ladies and gentlemen, I've seen a changed heart that is three times larger. I've seen one that's 10 times. I've seen one that's 100 times. I've seen one that's 1,000 times larger because of what it does, and it changes us. So how are you feeling this Christmas? Are you a little dry on the dry side? Like, you know, like a Christmas funk? Are you already grinchy? Maybe when the gifts are all open, it's just like a big anticlimactic event. It's like that. I'm glad it's over. I believe if you're feeling that, you are a candidate for a new heart. Turn, believe, and be filled. Turn, believe, and be filled. And maybe today you're hearing this story of who Jesus is and what God can do and his promise for the very first time. And you're intrigued. And you're like, I'd like to know more about that. Can I give you two ways to do that before you leave? One is we're going to be standing right here at the end of the service today. Come on, just talk to us. And just say, I want to hear more about this. And we're going to walk with you. And maybe coming up the front's not your thing, but you still want to connect. Take that card. And take the connect card here, write your contact information, just say, would somebody help me understand who Jesus is and what he's done? I want a new heart. You don't have to write all that, just write any part. But give us a way to contact you, cell phone, email. We want to walk with you if you're hearing this story for the first time. And maybe this is like, Brian, right now I'm there. I've got a heart three times larger. I'm feeling it. Good. Then who are you helping find their heart? Don't hold that to yourself. Help somebody else come to Whoville. Let me finish with that quote from the Grinch. That maybe Christmas does mean something more. It does. Don't miss this. Choose to have that changed heart today. And all God's people said, with a big heart, amen. Amen. Ushers, would you come forward, please, for the offering? And let's talk about offering here just a little bit. It's a time where we're going to ask God. What we hear, what we see, what's going on, we're going to ask to change. The areas that we need to change in our lives. It's also a time when we give. We give for the mission of the church. We give that the church can be empowered to share this message of a changed heart with others. Right now we have missionaries around the world that are doing that. We have people right around here that are doing that. It's a time to give back to a God who gave everything for us. And so let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm thanking you for the Grinch. I'm thanking you for Dr. Seuss's heart. When he wrote this in the 1950s, he wrote it because he was looking in the mirror and he saw a grinchy person and he didn't like where his heart was. And so he penned a story that really points to the true meaning of Christmas. Father, all we did was bridge it. All we did was bridge it to the rest of the story. But Father, there's people in this room that are in all three places. They're like, I'm up and down, I'm up and down. God, change out my heart. That's my offering. Change out my heart so it's consistent. Christmas isn't one day a year. It's every day that I have that kind of spirit and heart. And Father, maybe I'm here today and I've never chosen to follow Jesus. Please, before I walk out this door, give me the courage to connect with some people here to walk with me and help me figure this out. Wrestle with it. It's okay. And Father, maybe I've got it and I just need to be compelled to go and share this with others. Give me that boldness to do that. And Father, let our gift that we're going to give now, Father, it will never compare the gift of your Son and how much you loved us to change our heart. But thank you for that promise. And thank you that you still are fulfilling that promise today. Let us give with a heart like that. And we pray all this in the name of the one who came and changed our hearts. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Hello, church. How we doing? Hi, church. Hi, guys. We're the Mortensen family. This is Joseph, Emmanuel, and Devin, and I am Jesse, and we're going to read you something today, all right?
Isaiah 9:2 reads, "The people walking in the darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned."
We light this candle as a sign of preparation of the coming light of Christ Jesus. We do this as a reminder that Jesus has come into the world and also to remind us that Jesus has promised to return again. Advent means coming. The following verses come from the first few sentences in the Gospel of John. They are about Jesus Christ choosing to come into the world as a human being and what Jesus' coming would mean to the whole world.
Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him. Nothing was created except through him. The Word gave the life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it.
Thank you, Mortensens. Will you stand with us? We're going to close in song this morning.
Thank you.
Just a couple quick announcements. Remember, we have the Advent tree just outside these doors. There's adopt-a-family ornaments on there. We're only down to just a few left. So there was 100 and some on there when we started. So thank you for your generous hearts. There's a few left. Grab those. If you miss out and say, man, I didn't get a chance to do that, let me encourage you that you can drop gift cards up here that would help people get food or gas money. We are always running into families that are in, or individuals who are in crisis. And it's just a way for us to reach out and love on them. So you can always bring that in, and we can use that gift too to help others and make our hearts larger, right? The second thing is Cloverton next Friday. Isn't that exciting? We get to host that here. We expect it to be a pretty significant turnout. So, but we ask you, please bring somebody. Again, this is about sharing that message. And there's a great message in this concert about the true reason for Christmas. So bring somebody with you that can really benefit from that. And so last thing, guests, we loved having you. Would you fill out this Connect card before you leave? Drop it off at our Welcome Center. We have a gift for you, but we want to reach out to you and just say, hey, is there any questions we can answer? But we're really, really, really glad you're here. So I want to finish with a story, a part of the story of the original book from The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. It says, every who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presence at all. The Grinch hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. Nobody could stop the first Christmas and God's love from coming to this planet in Jesus. And ladies and gentlemen, for those of us who follow Jesus, he's coming back. And nobody's going to stop God's love from him coming back. So, in the meantime, we need to go and grow our hearts. So go with a large heart out of here. Have a great week.